Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Over this summer, we've been doing a summer sermon series on our new identity that God has given us in Jesus Christ. It's like the banner says from 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. And this will be the last sermon in this sermon series. But I want us to understand how important it is that you do not have anyone rob you of your identity that God's given you in Jesus Christ. For he's done great things for you. Jesus' sayings, Paul's writings, Peter, John, the author of the Hebrews, if you read these letters and look at it with this eye, they're constantly telling us who we were, who we once used to be outside of Jesus, and who we now are in him. And God wants us to grasp that. For that identity, that sense of it, helps to change and transform us. Let's consider then for a couple minutes here, to start out, who you once were outside of Christ before you were saved. What does God declare about us concerning that? Well, let's take a look at Ephesians 2. He says, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." That's what we once were. Quite a resume, wouldn't you say? Dead in trespasses, following the desires of body and mind, slaves of an evil prince, and on top of all that, children of wrath, destined for destruction. If you look at the rest of the scriptures, you see Matthew 5, Jesus says, we were adulterers, murderers, thieves, mischief makers, liars, idolaters. Luke 15, that we were lost. Psalm 14, we did no good, none at all. We were sinners. 1 Peter 2:10, that we were not a people. We had not received mercy. God was angry with us. Isaiah 64, we were clothed in filthy rags, even our best works. Isaiah 42, that we were prisoners in a dungeon. That we stumbled in the darkness, John chapter 11. Enemies of God, Romans chapter 5. Ephesians 2, having no hope and without God in the world, destined for hell. That is what we used to be outside of Jesus Christ. And that's important so that we can understand the grace of what he's done for us in Jesus. Taking you out of being outside, putting you into Christ by grace through faith. Let's read about that. Next line in this, he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and made us sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Praise God. We had talked about what you once were. Now we're talking about who you now are. By grace, you're no longer dead, but you are alive in God. And to sum up our summer sermon series, he took you from being a prisoner, put a sword in your hand, set you free, and made you a soldier of Christ, more than a conqueror. He took you from being an outcast and made you a king and a royal priest, 1 Peter 2:9. He took you from being a poor, miserable sinner and made you a joyful saint. He took you from being children of wrath and made you children of God and sons of light. He took off your filthy, sin-stained clothes and he baptized you, washed you, and forgave your sins, and you were accepted by him through Christ. You were followers of the way. So you were followers of sin. Now he's made you followers of the way. You were once lame, and now he has made us athletes who go for the gold, the golden streets of his kingdom. Once we were friends of the world, and strangers to God, but now we are friends of God and strangers of the world. God has made us citizens of his heavenly country. And all of this, friends, all of this is not for any worthiness in ourselves or effort on our part, but all by his grace, because he loves you that much. And we need to lay hold of this today, because there's an identity thief out there, the devil in the world. They want to rob this from you, and we have a tendency to forget it. But lay hold of these things today, that this is who God has made you in Jesus Christ, our Savior, by grace. And so in this last sermon in the series, I'd like to talk with you for a few minutes about what does it mean to be people of grace. What's it mean to live under grace, to be people of grace? Let's take a look at that. Well, first off, what does it mean to be a people of grace? It means that God has chosen you to reveal himself to you. Did you know that not everybody in the world knows Jesus? That news to anybody? And you can't know him unless he reveals himself to you. So you're a people God has revealed himself to. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Remember my favorite movie, what is it? Thank you. Robin Hood, Sherwood Forest, right? When King Richard came back from the Holy Crusades to his country, he was in disguise because the evil Prince John, his brother, was over the kingdom. He came back in disguise, and no one knew who the king was except any to whom the king chose to reveal himself. And he would draw back the hood, open his cloak, and under it would be the cross of the Holy Crusades, and they recognized the king's face. Well, in the same way, no one can know the king, no one can see and know God unless God, the king, draws back the veil and reveals himself to us. For our eyes are blinded by sin and the God of this world, namely the devil, God, small g. But to you, to people of grace, that is, God by grace has drawn back his veil and opened your eyes to see and to recognize and to know your king. Praise be to God for that. For a lot of the people in the world do not know him. And why? Because they cannot see him. Think of some of the higher-ups in the world. Here's Richard Dawkins. You remember him? You heard of him? Famous atheist / scientist, author of The God Delusion. He writes, "Faith is the great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence. We're all atheists about most of the gods of humanity. Some of us just go one god further and believe in no god." He's supposedly the great authority on this. Where does he get this information? His own vain imaginations. Think of Benjamin Franklin, who said, "Lighthouses are more helpful than churches." Or Gloria Steinem, who said, "It's an incredible con job when you think about it, to believe something now in exchange for something after death." Thomas Jefferson said, "I've been examining the superstitions of the world and do not find in our particular superstition, Christianity, one redeeming feature. They're all founded on fables and mythology." And Albert Einstein said, "I can't conceive of a God who rewards and punishes his creatures, or of an individual who survives physical death and is beyond comprehension. Nor do I wish it otherwise. Such notions are for the fears or absurd egoism of feeble souls." Do you understand what I'm saying here? A lot of people, in prideful arrogance, boast that they know God does not exist. Why? Because God has not drawn back the cloak, opened the veil, and allowed them to see him on account of pride. But you are a chosen people. And Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, that Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babes. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will." And then he goes on to say this, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Father is except who the Son is, except the Father. Nor does anyone know who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." God has revealed himself to you, and you've heard his voice saying, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he's given us rest through the forgiveness of our sins, through setting us up to be kings and royal priests. And Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and him who comes to me I will not cast out. That's a promise. I will not, never cast you out, but I will raise you up at the last day, says the King, who has revealed himself to you, his subjects. And so, will you not praise him for this? That you are people of grace, and you have been granted the grace to see and know God, and he's revealed himself to you. So there's one great thing about being people of grace. The other thing is that his grace has saved you forever. Remember all these things that we just read here. Once you were dead in your trespasses, once you walked after the world, once you followed the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil. But now God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God came and sought you when you weren't seeking him. He came and found you when you were lost. He came and at first terrified us with his law and his judgments. Why did he do that? He had to make known to us our sinful, lost condition, despair of saving ourselves, teaching us our own righteousness won't avail us salvation. And then what's he do? He points us to the righteousness of his son, Jesus, who died on that cross for the sins of the world. And it's written in the scriptures that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And Paul says, but these words it was reckoned to him were not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for ours also. Righteousness will be reckoned to us who believe in him that raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who is put to death for our sins, raised for our justification. Do you believe in Jesus today? Do you know that God has given you the gift of faith to reveal himself to you, and he places Jesus' righteousness upon you? That's what it is to be a people of grace. Saved not by your own efforts, not by your own good deeds, not by your own straining and striving, but by God's own outstretched arm. Come because he loved you, to send his son to die for you, to raise him up, to give you eternal life. Now we got a storm going on out there. And recently, in this summer, we had a tropical storm Debbie. I don't know if you remember that, but I read this article. Got it here under here. And I read this about that, that says there was a 3-year-old girl after that one that was found alive in her dead mother's arms after the two, the mother and daughter, were thrown 200 feet to the nearby woods by a tornado spawned by the tropical storm. The mother died, but Kim Bass, the neighbor, told the local TV station, when they found her, she was literally holding her little baby girl. Can you just picture that scene? The mother, dead, clutching her baby, keeping her alive in the storm. That's the picture of grace, of God for us. Jesus died, but he kept us in his arms, holding us close, and saw us safely through the storm. Just like that dove who was killed in the forest fire, but when found in the morning, all charred, under her wings were her little baby chicks found alive. And God has spread the wings of his mercy over you, people of grace. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. I ask you today, will you not praise him for this, that he's made you a people of grace? It also means that we now are supposed to be living under grace and not under his law, not under his wrath. And the funny thing is, a lot of us still seem to live as if we're still under God's wrath and law. We have two dogs at our house. Anybody met them? We have Barnaby, and then we have our Blossom, or Blossy, our little Shih Tzu. And I love to joke to Beth, it ticks her off, and that's one of the things I do, is at night I put Blossy into her little cage, all right? I call it her prison. And I lock the door, and I say, I've locked her in prison, Beth. In the morning, I come by, and I open the cage, and I let her out to freedom, to sunlight and joy, and so she can run and play in the yard. And earlier this week, last week, I opened the cage door, and though it was open and she was free, she was still asleep in there in the darkness, not making use of her freedom. I think that's a picture of us as Christians. You know what? Do you really understand and you grasp this, that you are free people? That you're not under God's law anymore? That you're not under his wrath? He's not after you. He's not angry with you. He loves you. You're under the wings of his mercy. He wants you to come out into the yard and enjoy the freedom of a new relationship with him in Christ. That you're accepted, that you're his children. And yet many of us are still as if asleep, though free, in the darkness, not making full use of that freedom. And God wants to speak to you today, saying, rejoice in what I've done for you. Don't let people rob you of your identity. People of grace, you are a free people. And I love you. I've raised you up in Jesus. You're sitting with me at my right hand. I make you kings. I'm planning in the coming ages to pour my grace and mercy upon you in kindness forever and ever and ever. Will you not rejoice in your relationship with me today? Will we not praise him for it? For we read in Romans 5, if because of Adam's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Are you reigning in life today? That's what the Bible says about you, that you, through Jesus, have been made to be kings with God, rejoicing in his salvation, that you're saved by grace, you're free. For sin will have no dominion over you, says Paul, for you're not under law, but you're under grace. And God does cover us with his favor as with a shield, says David. And one more, that when we are people of grace, when we live under grace, when God has taken us from a position outside of Jesus and placed us into Jesus through faith, that means a new thing for our hearts. It changes who we are and how we approach life. I think of a time when I once jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. Some years ago, but I was about 11,000 feet, I jumped out, and it's a harrowing experience if you've never done that. Jumping out of an airplane, looking down at the earth, sprawling so deep below you. But I wasn't so scared. Not so scared. Why? Because it was a tandem jump. The instructor was hooked into me on my back. I knew his presence, and I knew he had a pretty good investment with us getting down safely. Because if I die, he dies. If I crash, he crashes. So I trusted in his experience because we were intimately connected and looking on his face, if I could, in a sense. I drew courage from that and could enjoy the harrowing experience. And in the same way, when you go through life, it can be a fearful thing, right? But when your God is with you, and he's a God of grace, and he's attached to you, and he says, I'm invested in your future. What happens to you happens to me. We will get down safely. It changes you. And in my life, as probably you guys have done too, I've wrestled with lots of fears, lots of anxieties, worries and things like that. Something really cool God said to me recently, I think, I just picture him putting his hand upon me like this, on my shoulder, like a father to his son. And when I know him, he's there. I start to get worried about something, and God says, I feel that hand on my shoulder, and he says, nah, son, we don't need to worry about that. Remember who's with you. I get afraid, and he says, remember, the God who has all things in his hands is with you. I feel his hand on my shoulder. Whenever I get weak, and I say, God, I'm weak. I don't know how to do this. I feel his hand on my shoulder. And he says to me, my grace is sufficient for you, Greg. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And when I hear those words, my nerves, my anxieties, my fears, which are churning and growing in me, they just dissolve because his hand is on my shoulder. My Father is attached to me. Would you picture yourself like that? Because that's what it is to be people of grace. You are under His grace. You are under the wings of His mercy. He saved you, Paul said, because He loved you out of the great love with which He loved us. Even when we were dead and enemies, He saved us. How much more now that we're His children? Will you picture yourself like this? For the veil has been removed. The world that says to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. When you look on the face of grace, on the face of Jesus, and picture His hand with you on your shoulder, speaking to you, going with you through your everyday's journey of your life, and you look on His face, that changes us and transforms us, Paul says, from one degree of glory to another, so that we become more and more like Jesus' Son, full of all the strength and spirit of the Holy Spirit. Shall we not praise Him for this, people of grace? So never forget who you are. Let not the devil or the world or your own flesh forget or steal from you your true identity, what God has done for you, who He's made you to be in Jesus Christ. And now, to all of you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all God's beloved at Christ Lutheran Church, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen.